I invite you to open your Bibles in the Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. It's on page 832 in the Church Bible. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to verse 9. You can follow as I read. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be here. And as our sister said, we thank you for the freedom we have to come here and praise your name and worship you, Lord. Please speak to us this morning and teach us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit guide us and equip us and challenge us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you like to take notes, the title for this sermon is The Joy of Having God's Peace. The Joy of Having God's Peace. And I have a question for you. What comes to your mind when you read or you hear this phrase, The Joy of Having God's Peace? Maybe something like, oh yes, I should rejoice by having God's peace. Or others may say, it's easy to talk about peace when you don't have to deal with my boss every single day. Or even joy. I don't even know what that means. Or some parents may be just thinking, I dare you to come to my house and to find joy. Sometimes I cannot find my children. So I don't know your situation today, but I hope that by the end of this message, you will be able to answer these questions. Why do we have to rejoice? When should we rejoice? And how can we find joy? I encourage you to keep your Bible open as we will be reading through God's Word. When Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was in prison. But he was encouraging and guiding them from jail. He was far, but he wanted to be close to them. When we read this letter, we can see that Paul thanked God for the partnership he had with the Philippians. Paul instructed them to preach Christ, to advance the gospel, to imitate Christ in his humility. And if you read the chapter 3, and I encourage you to do it afterwards, you will see that he was instructing the Philippians to press on towards the goal as they waited for Jesus Christ, our Savior, to come again. Paul considered them as brothers in Christ and also as beloved friends. Look at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Paul was like a big brother for them, teaching the little ones to walk and succeed in their walk of faith. encouraging them to stand firm in the Lord. He really cared for the Philippians, and his care brings us to our first of the 3 points that we have this morning. Joy, a Christ-based gift. Paul calls the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. He's inviting them to find joy in Jesus Christ. He's not calling them just to be happy or cheerful. He's calling them to rejoice in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Happiness is based on circumstances. If things good happen to you, you will be happy. If these things doesn't happen, you won't be happy or you'll be frustrated. For example, if happiness is based on your job, imagine that one day you do something amazing. If you're a doctor, you perform really well doing a surgery. If you are a state agent, you manage to sell a very, very old house that no one could sell, and you got a good price for it. And maybe your colleagues will come to you to celebrate with you and congratulate you. Or if your happiness is based on studies and you do your test very well, you get the highest mark in your class. Or if your happiness depends on your friends and families and family, because you know that they will never let you down. But what if these things don't happen? How would you feel? What if the surgery is not a success? What if you stay 6 months without selling any properties? What if you study really, really hard, but you don't get enough marks? And what about if your friends and family let you down? Will you still be happy? Will you rejoice? The joy that Paul is speaking here in verse 4 comes from God. Rejoice in the Lord. Have joy in the Lord. The difference here is that this joy doesn't depend on circumstances. This joy doesn't depend on things going well to have it. The true joy depends on the presence of the Lord with us. It is satisfaction in what Jesus has done for us. The comfort we can have by rejoicing in Jesus is that God is unchangeable. It's Jesus Christ. He is God. Our friends may change and let us down. You may not succeed every day on your business to feel happy. At some stage in your life, the circumstances will change. But God, He's the same, and He will ever be. Maybe you have been following Christ for 5, 20, or 50 years, or maybe you are here for the first time, and today you are trying to understand if you should follow Jesus Christ. I want to remind you or tell you that what Jesus has done for us will never change. No one can change what He did for us on the cross, dying and giving up His life for our sins. Rejoicing in the Lord means knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you cannot find joy in your life now, if things are too hard for you, and you don't see any reason to rejoice, I can suggest you 2 things. First, you can look back. Do you know when you read your old journals, when you get the album of pictures, and all the memories come back to your mind? I encourage you to do the same, to look back in your life, to see the time when God was with you, and He is always, but sometimes you just forget. We have to look back to see moments in our lives that we feel lonely, and He came to rescue us. My second advice is to remember and check in the Bible the promises that God has made and look forward. He's faithful, and He will fulfill all His promises. He gives us hope. Look forward and rejoice. Jesus told us that we would have trouble in this world, but we have to take heart. Don't let these circumstances shape your life. And when should we rejoice? Here is our second point. Unity to rejoice always. Unity to rejoice always. Just by reading verse 4, we can see that the answer to this question is always. We should rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. But Rafael, do I have to rejoice when I have to deal with people that make me uncomfortable? So, let's have a closer look at verse 2 and 3. Verse 2. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. There was a situation here between two of Paul's co-workers, Euodia and Syntyche. And even though he was in prison, this information came to him. It seems to me that Euodia and Syntyche were very influential in this church in Philippi, and Paul wanted them to have this conflict sorted. According to information that we have here, they were not troublemakers. And it wasn't anything related to false teaching or any similar thing. As Paul highlights at the end of verse 3, their names are written in the book of life. They were true believers. We can be sure of this. It was probably just a relationship situation, but Paul saw that it could damage or was already affecting the church in Philippi. We can see here that the church in Philippi wasn't perfect. There was disagreement there. As we can find it in our community, in our family, workplace. But as we saw in our first point, these situations, they shouldn't take away their joy. And if it happens to us now, it shouldn't take our joy either. Paul is calling the Philippians to live in unity. He knew that it was important for them to stand firm and together. Let's have a look on Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Just flip back one page. Verse 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. There were some people preaching the gospel out of false motives. In chapter 3, we can see that others were enemies of the cross, and Paul goes deeper and warned the Philippians to watch out for those dogs. Chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, men who do evil, mutilators of the flesh. We can see here that the surrounding area wasn't so friendly that they could just lower their guard and relax. They had to stand firm in the Lord and together. This church was being persecuted. They were under attack, and they have to stand firm in the Lord. Paul loved the Philippians, and he didn't want to see any gap that could be taken to damage the church. He wanted to see this church united. He dedicated two verses here to ask the Philippians to help these two women to sort out the situation. This was beneficial for the church in Philippi, and it is beneficial to us as well. We can learn from this situation that some differences may arise, but they must be solved as soon as possible. When we see that our brothers and sisters are in any sort of conflict, we should intervene and help them to find a solution, not because we are better or holier than them, but because we love them. The Philippians couldn't just ignore the situation thinking that it was possible to keep on going. After this warning, Paul expected harmony among them and called them to rejoice in the Lord always. Even in the midst of tribulation, he's calling them to rejoice. Remember that Paul was in prison, and prison is not known as a pleasant place to be. It is normally lonely, nasty, disturbing. But neither Paul's difficult circumstances nor the frightening dangers faced by the Philippians could shadow the Christian joy, a joy that doesn't depend on circumstances. We have to let people see our gentleness, not our bitterness. Paul, he could have spent his letter talking about all the problems that he was facing in prison, but he decided to show his care, because he knew that there was no time to be wasted, no time to spend with small matters. They should invest their time showing gentleness to everybody, not looking only to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. Look back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Paul wanted them to be practicing humility, prioritizing those around them instead of themselves. But not like some people do it nowadays, when they post on social medias that they are helping people, being gentle, they take selfies showing that they are giving food or giving money to others. No. I don't want you to go home thinking that everyone doing good things is great, that we have to do good things to other people will be enough. No, it is good. But the point here is not about doing good things, but doing the right thing. To find unity in the Lord, to stand firm in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord. And we can only do these things if Jesus is present in our lives. Just when we declare that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. As verse 5 says, He is near, so we should take action to regard others as more important than ourselves. And how can we rejoice in this fallen world? You may be thinking something like, Rafael, I don't really know how to find this joy that you are talking about. So far we have seen that joy is a Christ-based gift, and it is not based on circumstances, but based on the presence of God with us. After that, we saw that we should rejoice always, standing firm in the Lord. Let's see the third and last point of this morning. Prayer, the key to joy. Verses 6 and 7, let's have a look. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What do we have to give in to have joy? What is preventing you to rejoice in the Lord? The Apostle Paul, he talks about anxiety here. He was telling the Philippians to not be anxious about anything. Paul knew that they could be fearing for their lives because of the threat of evil men, or concerned about Paul being in prison, or even, as we read in verse 6, anxious about any other thing. Paul's message here is very, very clear. Be anxious about nothing, but be prayerful for everything. Paul is telling them that the way to face anxiety, sadness, hardships, and any other thing that lets you down or keeps you far from Jesus Christ is prayer. Through prayer, the peace of God will guard our hearts. You just have to pray. You just have to present your request to God. You have to be honest with Him and say what is in your heart. Say what is preventing you to rejoice in Him. Or even say that you don't know what is blocking you to rejoice in Him. We should pray in every situation. Pray about everything to God. And what will come after that? The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Do you know what I find really interesting about this verse here? Is that when we want to protect something, we normally think about strong things and strong shield, powerful structures. And for example, if you want to protect your house, you normally build a strong wall, bring some big dogs or CCTVs and place it around. So just to give you the sense of protection. Here in this passage, instead of saying, and the power of God will guard your heart and your mind, he talks about God's peace. Look at verse 7. I'm going to read it again. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's not about changing the situation. It's not about changing the circumstances. Remember that joy shouldn't be based on circumstances, but in the Lord that never changes. His peace will change our lives. His peace can change the way that we react. The problems may be there, but the peace of God will guard us from anxiety, worries, things that we don't have the power to change, nor the power to do anything. When Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, he's not talking about emptying our minds, as some people do nowadays, instructing others to empty their minds, to concentrate in other things. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul gives us a list of things that we should think about. So the God of peace would be with us. We can find this list on verse 8 and verse 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul, he is instructing the Philippians to, instead of feeding their minds with troubles and worries and anxiety, that they should be thinking about things that would be beneficial to their lives. And we should follow his example. We must put it into practice. As we conclude, how can we string or tie all these things together? In the last part of this passage, Paul, he doesn't say, think about these things or consider these things. He's calling the Philippians to put it into practice, to put everything that they learned, received, heard, and saw into practice. Paul is calling the Philippians and us today to rejoice in the Lord. Paul is encouraging us to stand firm in the Lord, in unity. showing care for our brothers and sisters, and praying to God, because this is the key to find joy. By following these instructions and putting it into practice, not just the peace of God will be with us, but the God of peace will be with us with His care. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Heavenly Father, may Your peace that transcends our understanding be with us and give us joy to continue in our walk of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.